This is Jay Sekulow. The FBI will not use the word terrorism regarding the attacks at Ohio State University.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The FBI says that they are not going to say the word terrorism yet when it refers to the attack that we saw at the Ohio State University.
At this time, we are not aware of anyone else being involved in the planning of this attack, but the investigation continues. It appears that Artan may have at least been inspired by Anwar al-Awlaki and the Islamic State in the Levant, and we will continue to pursue this as part of this investigation. It's too soon to draw any type of conclusions whether or not this is terrorism. We have a long road to go in the investigation. We have lots of evidence and lots of digital media to go through, and that could uncover a trove of information for us, so we really can't draw any conclusions at this point.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
To me, it makes absolutely no sense. If this isn't terrorism, I don't know what is. I guess there's always some remote chance that it's not, but by any logical mind, this clearly is terrorism. And this is the new face of terrorism. He doesn't have to have a direct link to ISIS. ISIS is reaching out to the people who are disaffected, the people who are unstable. And clearly, this is the situation here.
Back to OSU. Please. Understanding that the investigation is not complete, but hearing that there are strong indications this person was radicalized and inspired by ISIS, does this type of incident trigger any, like, revisiting the vetting process and how that works with refugees?
I guess my short answer is, of course, we're always assessing and improving the vetting system. But at the same time, let's be clear that it's still the most stringent vetting system for any person arriving from abroad into the United States.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, evidently it wasn't stringent enough. Now, here's the irony, folks, and this is the problem. The FBI says it is too soon to determine if the attack at Ohio State University Monday was terrorism. This is according to the FBI, while acknowledging that it was probably inspired by ISIS. ISIS has also claimed responsibility, saying this was an ISIS soldier. The perpetrator of the terrorist act said this on Facebook, and they're saying it's taken them so long to get through the social media, which I don't understand because it takes literally minutes to go through social media, but okay. I can't take it anymore. America, stop interfering with other countries, especially the Muslim Ummah, which is the Muslim world. We are not weak. We are not weak. Remember that. If you want us Muslims to stop carrying out lone wolf attacks, then make peace. The post reads, we will not let you sleep unless you give us peace to the Muslims. Okay, that's what the guy posts, and the next day goes on the rampage. So call it whatever you want, FBI, but not really. Call it terrorism. That's the reason why, by the way. You see this for our audience on Facebook and Periscope. I'm holding up our Freedom of Information Act request, all 117 pages that have been sent to the United States Department of Homeland Security, asking them why they took out phrases like jihad, Islamic terrorists, out of their training manuals. And now the FBI and Homeland Security doesn't respond. So you know what we're doing? Filing a federal lawsuit. And by the way, we're going to have to do this. You got to do this regardless of who the administration is. Why? Because the reality is that these entrenched bureaucrats are this tone deaf on these situations. And then, Jordan, you found something else to be absolute irony here.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, this special agent will still be there when Donald Trump becomes president.
Right.
These are not political appointees that come and go as you please with the president. I mean, these are folks that will entrench themselves, and still they've been taught this. This is what they have learned from the Obama administration, the years of terrorism. But she went so far as to say that ISIS, this is her quote, has been known to take credit for attacks like these when the attacker is deceased and cannot refute that. So they're saying they're concerned about calling it ISIS-inspired because this terrorist at Ohio State University can't testify that he was not actually inspired by ISIS,
because
even though he
dead.
Said he was.
Yes, even though he's dead and said he was inspired by ISIS. So this is what you got. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments. Your reaction to this, and what do you want to do about it? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And Logan, a lot of ways for people to engage, including on Facebook and Periscope, but also calling us. Our phone lines are open.
Yep, join us on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Comment in right there and watch us live during the breaks. Even no commercial breaks are on social media, but 1-800-684-3110 if you want to hear your voice on the air today.
Let me give a huge thank you to our ACLJ audience and supporters that are listening to this broadcast. We had an incredible month of November. We went over our goal by almost 40%. Couldn't do it without you. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital. We could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadist Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So you got the FBI refusing to call the incident in the terror attack, is what it was, at Ohio State University, a terror attack for absurd reasons. And we have filed, as I said, a Freedom of Information Act request. It's 117 pages long. The Department of Homeland Security has not responded, which they're not going to. And we're going to file a lawsuit and beat them like we beat the IRS. But Dan said something during the break that is important here. And that is understand, and Jordan was saying this too, these are individuals that a change of administration doesn't change their tone and doesn't necessarily change the agency tones. Let me go to Than first, then Jordan comment. Then let's get some comments coming in, Logan, from Facebook and Periscope. Than, go ahead.
Jay, we know this much. For the last 5 years, at least, the United States government has been intentionally looking the other way, intentionally purging these training manuals. We've called it willful blindness, but here's the reality. You get a new commander-in-chief that starts issuing proper orders and wanting his Department of Homeland Security to look the right way. It is not going to be fixed by the same people who made these mistakes in the first place, Jay. So while there might be a temptation to walk away from this issue, we're not going to do that for this reason. These fixes cannot be made by the people that made the mistakes in the first place. We have a new commander-in-chief, and everybody involved in these purges should be out of these agencies.
But remember this. Don't forget our book, Undemocratic. We talk about the fourth branch of government that the bureaucrats have effectively become, although our Constitution only has three branches, the bureaucrats have become effectively the fourth branch of government. And that's why rooting this out is important. And this is the nonsense of what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is an administration that's put in this policy that President Obama doesn't want his long-lasting legacy to be lots of terror attacks in the United States Muslims.
Which is happening.
And so they drag their feet through this administration so that they're not classifying things as terrorist attacks. Remember Nadal Hassan.
Right.
We go back to, again, the attack at Fort Hood.
He was
communicating directly
with
Anwar Awlaki. This, again, if that's not terrorism, you could see why the same mindset would be, and again, going back to the attacker, that's what I really can't stand here, is that, because the attacker can't refute that he was inspired by.
What are we worried about? He's not going to get enough due process?
I mean, he's an Islamic terrorist, whether it was ISIS, whether it was Awlaki, whether it's Al-Qaeda, but he was going to all of those places. We know that he was inspired by all of it.
And I said this yesterday, there's no difference between ISIS-inspired and ISIS-led to the people that are having surgery for being hacked by a knife-wielding Islamic terrorist, Angela Byers of the FBI. This is what she said yesterday. Listen carefully to what they're saying, folks. This is how absurd this is.
Any validity to ISIS claiming responsibility, it is too soon to draw that conclusion. We believe he may have been inspired by Anwar Awlaki or ISIL, but they have been known to take credit for incidents like this when the assailant is deceased and cannot refute that.
This is absurd. Okay, this is what you were. This is absurd.
These are highly. These are the special agents.
This is
in
why we're having these attacks
of the investigation. Yeah. That's a part that goes to it too as well. Remember, every one of these attacks is a failure by our intelligence community. Yep. These are people communicating online.
Right.
But when you take out all that terminology and you can't target someone based off using that kind of language and saying, you know, Americans, if you don't stop this, you will not sleep peacefully. That's a term used constantly
by terrorists.
Since we've been dealing with Al-Qaeda in the United States and 9/11, that's always that term. If you were able to really target this Islamic world in America, in this age group, I think males predominantly, and the refugees, people maybe weren't born in the United States, focus in, and you see a terminology like that, he should have been arrested the moment that was posted.
So this is absurd. All right, Logan, what are we hearing online? Then let's take a phone call. We got an update.
A lot of people counting down the days until the FBI, until everything switches over. 50 days and counting, Deborah said. Also, Jackie said, I agree with the FBI, though, Jay. That was my first thought. How do you really know it was ISIS?
Here's how you know. He said it. Can we not take the word of the guy who did it, who was using the language of ISIS? So does it make any difference to the person listening on Facebook if it was ISIS or Al-Shabaab? Does that make any difference to anybody anymore?
Well, I don't think it doesn't matter if it's ISIS or Anwar al-Awlaki to call it terrorism either.
Right.
If it's inspired by Islamic radicalism.
Why would you not call it terrorism? Because you don't want that to be your legacy. But here's the problem. I need to reiterate this, folks. It's what you just said. This doesn't change with an administration. Yes, tone will change, and eventually it does, but you've got to stay on top of this. And that's exactly why we're doing it. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, Logan.
Let's go to Julie in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, Julie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, both of you. Yesterday, at the beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned that you were able to get Congress to pass the resolution protecting Israel because of the petitions we all signed.
Yep.
Could you walk me through exactly what's done? And does Nathaniel talk to the Congress members and help write the resolution?
Yeah, so this is a perfect, I'm glad you called, because this was to get everybody up to date. We got word yesterday, and by the way, it's broken today in the news, that in fact, the Obama administration is letting it be known, and listen, we're not going to rest until we know it for sure, but they're letting it be known that they are not planning on making any moves on the pre-67 borders. But I don't trust it, by the way, but this is a very good sign. But there was a unanimous congressional resolution passed with all Republicans and all Democrats. So, Than, walk Julie through this process. I think it's very important on exactly how that worked to show, because this is, I don't claim a win until it's a win, folks. This is on the precipice of a win, but it's not there yet. But it's certainly looking better than it was a week ago. But, Than, walk everybody through this. It's important.
Yeah. We're for sure not going to stand down until this administration is gone, because they could do anything. But listen, this week was a huge step in the right direction. The resolution she's talking about, it's right here, H. Conres 165. In this case, Jay, it was drafted by Chairman Royce and the ranking member, a Democrat, Elliot Engel, of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We pushed this idea forward to the United States Congress in conjunction with others. Sometimes we do the actual drafting for them. But the idea was, tell the president that if he goes to the United Nations and abandons Israel, he's going to do it without any support from Congress, including Democrats. Jay, this resolution went to the floor of the United States House, 0 votes against.
Yeah.
It passed unanimously by voice vote. So if the president wants to go abandon them, he's going to do it without
any
support from Congress.
How many signatures do we have on that petition? I think it was it 275,000, or was it even more than that? I mean, it was a huge number. Let's get the number of that. We'll get that. All right, let's go, Logan. Let's get another call.
All right, another call coming in. Let's go to Laura in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, Laura.
So you put your butt
okay.
back.
Okay. I don't know what Laura was talking about, but it didn't sound like something we wanted
to
talk about.
Let's try Jody.
Jody, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I'm here. I'm a Republican delegate from Michigan.
Oh, great.
Kind of Grand Rapids area. I'm totally overjoyed that this administration is going, but in the meantime, those are Islamic terrorists. I don't care what name you want to call them.
Right.
They're terrorists. They're everywhere. I mean, I got Dearborn, 3 miles from me.
I know
you
do.
I mean, it's Islamic. I'm sorry. I don't believe any media besides you guys and a few other, legit. I still read the Wall Street, but the rest of them, are garbage.
Well, look, I mean, this is a deep-seated problem. What we have to do, Jordan, is we've got to move the paradigm back to start with the proposition that this is acts of terrorism, okay? That's how you start the proposition. That's number one. Start the proposition with it is terrorism and work backwards and show me it's not. Now, here you've got a guy that's saying all the words. ISIS is claiming responsibility, and the FBI is saying we can't say anything because he's dead. That's ridiculous. But to get the American psyche, and as she just, the caller just pointed out, and to get the media focused on this, we've got to change the way it's viewed.
Yeah, well, in these groups, I mean, Jody, for people who are listening, may not be as familiar, I mean, but may have seen on the news, Dearborn, Michigan, which is one of the largest Islamic communities that centralize in the United States, predominantly refugees, placed there because when Detroit was having the, you know, economic crisis, still going through the city's recovery, that they thought, you know, an influx of immigrants and refugees would recreate some life. And yet over the years, that community, which has become so insular, instead of becoming a part of the American fabric, has instituted, I mean, you know, yep, almost their own version of Islamic law, not to the point of extremists or carrying out attacks, but it's shocking. It would be shocking to most listeners to visit Dearborn to see that that's a community inside the United States of America, and how concerned authorities are at, yep, operating within. And because you don't get, they're not, there's not, no cooperation. These are the same people that are, they were settled maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
And the group, the Somali immigrant refugee group, which is still coming over, we know there's a problem with the Islamic world. They were supposedly fleeing Islamic terrorism, these folks.
Uh-huh.
And then they become Islamic terrorists.
Which means either they were Islamic terrorists in the first place, or they are so easily radicalized, which means you just scratch it a little bit and there's a problem. Long, we have time to grab, I don't
well,
think
that's
we need
a
to grab.
Comment. Alice said, until we admit that young men are being radicalized and women, how can we save our young people from the lies they're being sold? I think that's a good point. Yeah. And also Jody said, why won't they actually call it what it is? I'm confused by the true motives of the FBI.
Oh, the last one's easy to answer, and that's just cuts against the Obama administration and the FBI narrative. Because the FBI has, let's say this, let's be honest, and I have a lot of respect for the FBI generally, but under this administration, including James Comey, they have become so politically correct that you can no longer do criminal investigations the right way when you've got a situation where you won't even name the enemy. So that's number one. On the other question, which is how do you fight the ideology, that is a job that has to also happen within the Muslim world.
Well, that's right, and the pressure can come from a new U.S. administration. Listen, it didn't happen under the Bush administration. It was kind of a new world, so there was a lot of trying to figure out what was going on in this community. I think by now, you know, from 2001 to today,
yep,
we figured out where the problem is. We know the individuals, we know the mosque, we know the leaders, we know the ideology, we know even the language that they use that inspires this, and we know the profile of the people who carry out these attacks. So you need a shift in the administration to tell these FBI agents, maybe it's removing the reins from the FBI,
yep,
and let them do their job, and let local law enforcement do their job as well, not be afraid of the Civil Rights Division filing lawsuits against them.
Yeah, and that is a big concern. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. Is that the Civil Rights Division, the FBI, the Justice Department filing suits against every government agency that's trying to do their job? All right, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls. Again, a huge thank you to our audience. We had a really phenomenal November. You know, November and December are two biggest matching challenge months, and I'm going to say this. A huge thank you from all of us at the ACLJ. We exceeded our goal online by, I think, close to 40%, which is just incredible. So a huge thank you to our audience listening on our stations and networks and Facebook and Periscope and radio stations around the country. A huge thank you and to our supporters. We could not have done it without you, and we're just thrilled with that result. All right, why don't we go right back to the phones again. Let me give everybody an update. We're very concerned that the FBI is still maintaining this political correct attitude, will not call the terror incident at Ohio State an act of terror. We have filed, because I said we don't just talk about it on here, a 117-page FOIA request to the Department of Homeland Security, which I just authorized today, a filing of a lawsuit against Homeland Security on why they took out phrases like radical jihad, Islamic terror. Why are those out of the training manuals? Sharia, out of the training manuals, as if it doesn't exist. And that's, while that's absurd, the fact of the matter is that's in the United States FBI training manuals and DHS training manuals, and that is not the way it's supposed to be. So we're fighting back. Again, we don't just talk about it on air. We do something about it. And then we talked about Israel, very much concerned about President Obama not utilizing the veto on the resolution to have Israel go back to the 67 borders. We have a petition that had 267,000 of you sign it. We delivered it. And Than, give everybody a quick update, then we'll go right to the phones. We are on the precipice, we're not there yet, of a big win.
Well, when you get a petition like that from all 50 states, from all 435 congressional districts, one of the results that you can get is a unanimous vote on the floor of the House of Representatives, which is what we got, walking away from the president, standing with Israel. Jay, I think we're going to win this one, but we got to stay vigilant on
it. And I'll tell you this, folks, a month ago, we didn't think we were going to win it. I mean, that's the truth. We thought this was not, we knew it was an uphill battle, but we didn't think we were going to win it. And the end result is we're going to win it. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Let's go to Brian in Connecticut.
Hey, Brian, you're on.
Yeah, you told us what the FBI said about the OSU attack. I'm just curious, what has come out of the White House, and has President-elect Trump said anything about it?
President-elect Trump had said something immediate about it called "This is the problem." He was, and here's exactly what he said: ISIS is taking credit for the terrible stabbing attack at Ohio State University by a Somali refugee who should not have been in our country in the first place. Nothing from the White House. Zero from the White House. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and they because they don't want more terrorist attacks. I think we could do a tally at the end of this administration of how many terror attacks there have been in the United States since Obama's reset with the Muslim world, Obama's reset with Russia, and, of course, the problems that are actually going on in the Muslim world in places like Syria and Iraq right now. But then here, right here in the United States and in Europe, in Western Europe, where we've seen an increase in these attacks, more attacks in various places. It's not just New York. It's not Washington, D.C. These are happening at Ohio State University. It's happening in San Bernardino. It's happening in Orlando, Florida. And then, or military bases where we have members of our own military.
Right.
Germany's got this going on right now.
Yes.
Someone in their version of the CIA, which a very respected intelligence agency, a high-ranking official, someone who does not fit the profile directly, older male, who converted to Islam without his family even knowing, radicalized, was planning a bomb attack inside the German intelligence agency's headquarters in Cologne, Germany, for ISIS. So this is a real problem, and these are the guys we can identify easily. The guy in Ohio State, you can identify easily. Yep. The guy in Germany,
harder.
Who's a German national,
much harder,
tougher, and if they're getting into those levels it's just a scary situation, a scary world.
Fan, you said this, and I think this is right. And then, Logan, let's get a couple comments from social media if we got them. The Donald Trump's going to have to really do a stop the government-wide lexicon purge of the terms.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond the Department of Homeland Security. That's the most troubling part. But remember, our FOIA goes after all of the agencies because
FBI
one
included.
Of the orders from this administration is that the lexicon would be purged government-wide. So that's going to be what Donald Trump's going to have to do, reverse it, and not just at Homeland Security.
Folks, I want you to look at this that are watching on Facebook and Periscope and or maybe on TV. And I want you to watch this, listen to this on radio. There it is. That's the pages. 117 legal pages of documents is what we put together. So we're taking this stuff real seriously. All right, we'll take more calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, what do you want to take next?
Well, let's take a comment. One person asked if the OSU if the OSU attack isn't terrorism, exactly what does it take to be qualified as terrorism?
Well, that's a good. That is. I don't know who asked that question, but
I can tell you who asked that question. But it was Janice.
Well, Janice is asking a great question. If that's not an act of terrorism, which was, by the way, modeled after exactly what ISIS asked them to do, use vehicles and knives. They've done it in Israel. They've done it in France. Let's not forget what happened in Nice. This is what they're doing. If this isn't terrorism, what is terrorism? This is the great print. And this is what the FBI, I'll let Jordan comment to that. This is what the FBI agent in charge, Angela Byers, this is what she said.
At this time, we are not aware of anyone else being involved in the planning of this attack, but the investigation continues. It appears that Artan may have at least been inspired by Anwar al-Awlaki and the Islamic State in the Levant, and we will continue to pursue this as part of this investigation.
Of course, they can't help themselves by saying Levant, so that you define ISIS by their aspiration, not actually what they have. By the way, Wes Smith will be joining us for a military analyst of what's going on in the Levant, if you want to call it that, with ISIS coming up in a couple segments. But, Jordan, this is the big part of the problem here. And of course,
this is what they've been instructed to do as well. I mean, they've had years now of being instructed on how to walk down these issues and try to tamper down. So you can actually say in the same sentence from the FBI, at a minimum, and they're inspired by ISIS plus Anwar al-Awlaki.
Right.
And that's when they get too heady, this group. They are way too philosophical. I think it's President Obama's biggest problem when it comes to foreign policy. Even if you disagree with his policies, he can't implement them because he's too scatterbrained with professor-like, if you will. The truth is, if you combine Anwar al-Awlaki and ISIS, they would be fighting each other.
Right.
Right. These are two groups. But to this guy, it's just ideology of hatred against the West and America.
Yeah.
So that inspires him. It's, you know what the truth is? It's not about ISIS or Anwar al-Awlaki. It's Islam that inspired the terrorism.
So here's the thing, and Thane, you point this out. So the attacker here, the terrorist Atten, posted what he was going to do on Facebook, and then 3 minutes later, he did it. And we can't figure out whether it was an act of terror? I mean, this is the absurd nature of what's going on two blocks down from you in Washington, D.C. right now.
Jay, a man named Abdul Razak Ali Artan went on Facebook, said what he was going to do. He was going to attack with a machete. What he was motivated by. 3 minutes later, Jay, 3 minutes later, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And our FBI can't figure out what was behind it. Listen, you said we've got to work backwards. Yes, let's assume what it clearly is. Work our way backwards. And, Jay, if we're wrong, 1 in 1,000, so what?
All right. We are here for another 30 minutes, and we want to make sure you get this full hour. Now, a lot of the stations now carry the full hour of the broadcast, which we're thrilled. SiriusXM, of course, as well, a number of stations. But some of you only get 30 minutes of it. So, Logan, let's walk everybody through. We got a lot of new listeners, what they need to do to get it.
If you don't get the full hour, you can join us many different ways. Live, ACLJ.org, Facebook and Periscope, Facebook.com/JSeculo. Just like the JSeculo page. Broadcast live here during the show and during the breaks, so it never stops. JSeculo Live never goes off the air. For that full hour. If you do want to get this later on in the day, if this is where you have to leave us, get the JSeculo Live podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, however you get your podcast, or you can get the ACLJ app. And that app has the radio show each and every day, and that is on your iPhone. Also, Apple TV app and Roku app where you can watch the show, our movies, daily television, or weekly television, all our video content right there.
All right. So that's a lot of ways to get us.
Yep.
All right, folks. Also, let me say again, thank you. Thank you to all of you who supported the work of the ACLJ in the month of November. Incredible. 40% over our goal, which is huge. So December's a big month, too. We'll talk about that later, but next week. But again, thank you. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
FBI's taking their time because it's, quote, too soon to determine if the attack at Ohio State University Monday was a terrorism attack, even though the terrorists said it was a terrorist act. ISIS said it was their guy doing it, and he posts 3 minutes before he does it what he's going to do. So take that, FBI. And this is why we have filed, as I said, a FOIA request, which we're now going to court on Monday against the Department of Homeland Security, because they purged out phrases like Islamic Jihad, terrorism, suspects that are using even the phrase Islamic radicals. These are not appropriate phrases anymore. So when you hear these statements from the FBI agents, and we play those in the first half hour of the broadcast, it is what they're being told to say. Let me play one again. Let's go back and play number 16, because we got new audience listening in now. This is what the FBI is saying. This is their senior spokesperson. And Jordan raised a good point, but understand this is what they are told to say.
At this time, we are not aware of anyone else being involved in the planning of this attack, but the investigation continues. It appears that Artan may have at least been inspired by Anwar al-Awlaki and the Islamic State in the Levant, and we will continue to pursue this as part of this investigation.
Okay, so Jordan.
Artie admits it's inspired by terrorism, at a minimum, inspired by terrorism. I think that their definitions now under the Obama administration, this is because he doesn't want to be known as the terror attack president of the United States, already had an issue apologizing to the Islamic world, and they turned right back in a more aggressive way towards the U.S. in a more widespread way. We're not just seeing it from guys out of Afghanistan or guys out of Saudi Arabia. We're seeing it out of also Somali. We're seeing different backgrounds from the Islamic world carrying out attacks, because the Islamic State, which the Obama administration allowed to grow in Iraq by withdrawing so many of our troops, is inspiring not just one group. They've united these, you know, whether it's al-Shabaab, and you look then in West Africa
and look
as well.
And look at the geography. Will points this out. It's not just New York or L.A. or Orlando. Now it's Columbus, Ohio.
People are asking online about what is the Levant. They've heard that.
Yeah, because this is something. We'll talk to Wes about this, too. But this is, as you know, Logan, this drives me. I cannot stand when the government said, our government says, ICE, instead of calling them the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, which is where they are, and that's defining them by who they are, the Levant includes Israel. So they want the greater Middle East. So why in the world would you define your enemy by their aspirations rather than who exactly they are? But this is, again, fan, this is this political correctness run to a point of absurd, but it goes right down there to the FBI.
Well, you do that, Jay, because it fits neatly underneath your appeasement narrative, your appeasement foreign policy, and it extends domestically as well. And listen, I would just say this. I want to tie these two issues together real quickly, because there's only one way we're going to fix this, and it's with true leadership at the Department of Justice and the FBI. And I would submit to you that it's leadership like with people like Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we fix this. You need a commander-in-chief, an attorney general, and other leadership there to really root this out from the ground up.
Let me say something about Jeff Sessions. I've known Jeff Sessions since he was a U.S. attorney in Alabama. They're trying to raise some racial charge with him, which is not only false and not only out of context, it's a complete fabrication. This was a guy that prosecuted the Ku Klux Klan, number one. Larry Thompson, former Deputy Attorney General of the United States, was the U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Georgia. He is black. He was friends with Jeff Sessions and known Jeff since they both served as U.S. attorneys, and wrote an eloquent piece in the Washington Post defending Jeff Sessions. We're going to defend Jeff Sessions because we need an attorney in there that can be a general, because that's how bad this is. You're seeing this today. Listen, folks, we're going up to D.C. tomorrow to prepare for what this is going to be, a gigantic fight. But we have done this before, and we will succeed. But this is going to be a big fight on this issue. All right, we come back from the break. We're going to be joined by our senior military analyst to talk about the situation with ISIS, the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. What's going on? They're bogged down, it looks like, militarily. So we'll get into some of that. We'll take more calls as well, Logan, and comments.
That's right, 1-800-684-3110. And join us on Facebook.
Let me also, I can't say thank you enough to all of our members. We had an incredible, November and December are two biggest months of the year, as you can imagine, for the ACLJ. And we had a matching challenge campaign in November. We'll have one in December as well. But in November, we exceeded it by 40%. So I want to say one thing. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who are standing with the ACLJ. It makes a huge difference. We'll be back with your calls at 800-684-3110 and your comments on Facebook and Periscope in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Way out of the vault. Maybe I don't know if we have that one on video. That was Watchtower by Jimi Hendrix and Jimi Hendrix Experience, played by the Jay Sekulow Band. Early stages of the Jay Sekulow Band, I might add. I think we weren't even the Jay Sekulow Band yet. We just jam session right here in this radio studio, I believe. That's where that took place. All right, Wes Smith is here. We've been talking about ISIS, Wes. We've been talking about what's going on with the terrorism issue and the ISIS-inspired nature of it, but I think it's important to give an update. Wes is a retired colonel for the United States Army, is our senior military analyst. The situation has not been in the media a lot, but we need to talk about this. You have a post up, by the way, at aclj.org, talking about the national security challenges and the military challenges that President-elect Trump is going to face. But let's talk about the ISIS situation right now and Mosul and Raqqa. We thought those were going to be resolved by now.
Right, and they're not. It's moving incredibly slowly. The battle for Mosul has basically ground to almost a halt. They're still miles from the city center. And the reason for this is because ISIS is using the civilians as human shields.
Which violates international law, by the way.
It does.
But of course, what is ISIS? What does ISIS don't care about international law. Right.
And so what happens when they do that, though, we can't use our artillery or our aircraft like we need to actually attack ISIS because they have civilians all around them. So the battle for Mosul is grinding almost to a halt, not completely, but almost. The battle for Raqqa, which is the other center for ISIS in Syria, they're still doing what we call in the military shaping the battlefield, logistics, placing
troops.
So
there's no real active engagement
there. There is no active engagement in Raqqa.
What do you think the overriding problem? I mean, obviously, this is a serious problem, and President-elect Trump's going to have to deal with it. We know we have the strongest military in the world. Is just not committing the forces necessary to do this? I mean, what is your outline here?
I think part of it is not committing the forces necessary. The rules of engagement certainly hamper what we try to do there.
Yeah.
But the other thing that's really hindering our fight against ISIS is the coalition that we've put together. It's a very fragmented coalition. You have Shia militia who are not trusted by the Sunnis.
Oh, no, right.
And you have Iran, which is a Shia nation, coming in. You have the Turks who don't like the Kurds, who really are the best fighters that we have.
The best fighters, right.
The coalition could not be more fragmented and splintered than it is.
T.E. Lawrence of Arabia, famously said in his book, Seven Pillars of Wisdom, which I studied at Oxford, is interesting. He makes a statement that he came across the Shia Persians. That's the Shia from Iran. And he said they were surly and fanatical, as likely to kill the Sunni as they would the Christian. And that's basically what's taking place in the Middle East right now. And again, there's been this, we've said this is a nine-dimensional fight, Jordan.
Because the U.S. decision not to engage fully.
Right.
Instead
right.
of taking the lead, mm-hmm. we lead from behind, and you put together a coalition that cannot work. So they're killing each other. I mean, understand, these are groups that would want to slaughter each other mm-hmm. and destroy each other's own. So committing atrocities, and that's because the U.S. won't take a leadership role. NATO's not taking that leadership role. We shouldn't have Iran there. We shouldn't have Russia there.
Right.
We shouldn't have even that with Turkey, taking these different groups. They do not work together.
Yep.
And everyone knows this, but they don't want to commit the forces necessary. And so now they're leaving it.
Yeah.
This is going to be something the Trump administration has to figure out now.
Let me say yeah. something here, folks. We've got a book that is out on this, and it's called Unholy Alliance. And because of you all, it went to the New York Times bestsellers list. Let me encourage you that if you go to buyunholyalliance.com, we actually have signed copies through one of our publishing friends has it up at Premier Books. And it's, again, buyunholyalliance.com. If you want to understand what's going on here, you need to read this book. It's also available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But I'd encourage you to get it, and you can get a signed copy again at buyunholyalliance.com. I want to go back to Wes on this. Let me take a call here because mm-hmm. I think it will fit in. Laura from Bedford, Texas, on line 3. You're on the air.
Hi,
hey.
Guys. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to make a comment real quick, and yep. I hope I can get it in. But I think that the biggest problem we have is the mainstream media. They have been so irritatingly left, well, far left-leaning
yep.
for so many years. They refuse to admit the truth. They refuse to put out the truth. And now we have a woman like Alison Camerota suggesting that women wear hijabs in solidarity with
yeah.
the Muslim woman.
Well,
I don't get this kind of stuff. It's so weird to me.
But
you
understand something. This is the left is doubling down on this. I mean, Laura, that's the problem. So what we're trying to do is give you real analysis, real fact, and tell it like it is. Look, our military, Wes, is the strongest military in the world. This is not something we're happy to report, but we're not. The rules of engagement, as you mentioned, are so tough, so difficult that our soldiers
right.
can't fight. You got these coalitions, let's be honest, that the president wanted,
mm-hmm.
but don't exist in reality.
Correct. And they have the animosity has existed for centuries. And part of the issue, you mentioned the president, with all due respect to his office, he has a very tepid view of the world and a lukewarm view of our adversaries,
yeah.
and at the same time, he has a suspicious view of our true allies.
Right.
And that complicates the fight against global terrorism.
Yeah, so, Than, you're bringing up the point that the commander-in-chief, here it's President Obama, will be soon in 49 days, President Trump, can change and define that mission regardless of the mainstream media. And I think I think the non-mainstream media, if you want to call it that, programs like ours, programs like some of our friends, this is going to be the media that's generating. This is going to be the media that's going to be trustworthy, because I think what the mainstream media has shown, quite frankly, is they were lying and not telling the truth. Let's just be blunt. Not only in their political analysis, but in their entire scope of coverage. I mean, this was an absurdity. If anybody evaluates that, they would see that's absurd. But go ahead, Than, with your point about the commander-in-chief.
Well, I think Laura's absolutely correct about the mainstream media, but I would just say this. The commander-in-chief doesn't need the mainstream media to define victory. If he is going to put American men and women in harm's way, and, you know, sometimes you have to do that, but he has an obligation to tell them and tell the American people what victory looks like. What is the mission? What am I putting you there for? He has failed to do that, Jay. If he would come forward, he doesn't need the media's help to make it very clear
yep.
what the mission is and what victory is. That's step number one for a commander-in-chief.
Let me take this call, though. It's right on point from Reno, Nevada. Dennis is on line one. Dennis, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah. My problem or my concern is, and I think Donald's going to talk about this, is the bureaucracy and all of these underlings that are just laying around making policy,
right.
making statements like this lady Byers.
Yeah, and I don't want to be too hard on Angela Byers. She was repeating what she was told to repeat as the FBI agent. But what you're saying is the bureaucrats. That's our book on Democratic. Mm-hmm. It's the bureaucrats here, Jordan. And that's why we filed, by the way, just to reiterate, a 117-page FOIA request. And that will be in court on Monday or Tuesday of next week.
And they've entrenched themselves by law.
Yes.
So they've made it. It's not so easy. And I think we have to be fair when you're evaluating the Trump administration on this issue, because you can't just go in and fire them
right.
based off mm-hmm. the current laws. Now, can you change the laws to make the process? Can you cut back agencies? Absolutely. So with the Republican House in a Republican Senate, you can fight to either cut back positions at agencies, so force cuts, and also start redefining what kind of insurrection, if you will, or insubordination would qualify someone to be fired as a bureaucrat, because that is the biggest problem. I remember this when I was just an intern in the federal government, and the issue was don't talk to any of the political appointees. And I don't talk to any of the non-political appointees. They will just leak it to the press or undermine everything we're trying to do. And that was at the...
And most of the people are non-political appointees. It's the bureaucrats.
The thousands of people that you see going into Washington buildings every single day are bureaucrats. The political appointees of these agencies are, you know, in the hundreds, but still very small compared to the people. So you can't even utilize them to do the work.
Yeah. Let me... Wes has got a piece up, National Security Challenges Facing the Trump Administration. We only got about 2 minutes left here. Let's talk about this for a moment. Kind of rattle off the big three that you think that the president's going to have to, president-elect has to deal with right off the bat.
Right. He has bequeathed a threat landscape that is really unique, Jay, probably in two or three generations. In addition to ISIS and the fight on global terror, we have the expansionism of China in the South China Sea. They are actually increasing their expenditures on armaments. We have Russian and Iranian aggression. Russia is not only creating problems for us in Syria, but they are threatening our NATO allies. They've placed missiles along the border with Poland, for example. And so you have North Korea testing ballistic missiles, and they already have nuclear weapons. And so you have a threat landscape that is uniquely dark. And a lot of it has come about because the president administration has simply not led, as Stan was saying, and not taken a leadership role in the world to counter our adversaries and encourage our allies.
Stan, quickly here, your sense of, we don't have a Secretary of Defense named or Secretary of State yet. Those are going to be the big two, right?
Those will be the big two. But listen, Jay, I would just say this. All of the names that have been mentioned, one common thread, strength. There's not going to be a weak Department of Defense. There's not going to be a weak FBI director.
That's true.
There's going to be a strong one.
All right, folks. Wes, thank you. The article's up at ACLJ.org. We encourage you to look at it. It's also up on our social media. We are going to take all of your questions in the next round, so that means you can ask us anything on any topic, and the number for that is 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Remember to follow us on Facebook. Like our Facebook pages. I've got a page. Jordan has a page. The ACLJ has a page. Even the band has a page. So like our Facebook pages. Follow us as well. Get our email alerts. You can do that at ACLJ.org. And again, I want to say this. I've said it a lot, but I'm going to say it again. Your support for the ACLJ in November, incredible. 40% ahead of our goal. That's how generous you all were. And that keeps more people in the fight. So we're going to be we're really appreciative of that. Again, ACLJ.org. Back with your calls at 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. Whether it's fighting to protect Christians around the globe who are targeted simply because of their religious beliefs, or working to root out the corruption inside the Obama administration and hold those who are responsible accountable. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a key role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Wall Street Journal, Pam told me yesterday, I've got to read it, about this song and how the band came up with this song. So I'm going to read that. Hopefully it's all good.
All right.
Let's go back and take this. Amanda's been raining a long time, so we're going to send her a copy of Unholy Alliance.
All right. Amanda, you're on the air in Oregon.
Hey, Amanda.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My question is about something you said yesterday.
Yep.
Tom Price yep. was nominated as for HHS.
Right.
Now, it's known that he has a history of wanting to cut those benefits, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. How will we know in advance his plans for these programs?
Well, it's not going to be cut retroactively. So you're not going to be people that are in the system or are entitled to it now. It's not going to be retroactive cuts. There's going to be adjustments to some of this because, I mean, like the retirement age is still 62, which in the world we live in, fortunately, because of medical advances, most people are working at 62 and don't want to retire at 62. Some people do, and that's fine. So what do you, I'll go to Jordan and Than. What are you all, Jordan first and Than, what are you hearing?
Scare tactic by the left. They're just upset right now because everything that President Obama worked on domestically is about to be undone. They're even saying, oh, but it's going to take them, you know, a couple of years. And it will because the Republicans are not going to come in and dump on people. You know, they're not going to come in and say, oh, because you signed up for Obamacare, pay these high premiums, we're going to rip it away for you, you're going to have no health care coverage. They're not going to do that. It will take a couple of years to replace. And I would say Donald Trump's been very clear on, even different than some other Republican candidates, on when it comes to specifically Medicare and Social Security, to protecting those. But I think where the reforms are, there will always be, remember, it's the push grandma off the cliff strategy right. from the left. That is Bernie Sanders. He wants the government control of all of your life. That got rejected by the voters.
Unbelievably
so
rejected.
So more privatization and people that are my age, more options to choose to opt out of paying for these government programs. And by the way, our generation probably is not going to be able to cover it for the folks who are about to retire.
Logan, when you talk to your age group there, as Jordan was just saying, then I want to go to Than on it too, just kind of the politics of where it's going to go. But this, people look at Social Security tax that you all are paying, which is a lot of money, and you realize you're not getting it.
Yeah, I just think it becomes almost a non-issue in some way. So people move on and they deal with other issues that are more pertinent to their daily life. And I think that's where it's
because right now it's basically a tax you all are paying that you're never going to see the benefit of.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. So there's got to be reform.
If our generation even understands it. Because knowing the fact that it's really just another tax.
Yeah, that's true. Very good point. All right. So, Than, let's talk about what Tom Price is going to do on the Obamacare thing. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First of all, there's no serious Social Security or Medicare reform package out there that affects anyone under the age of 40. So right. that's number one. But number two, the nomination of Tom Price is a clear indication that he has one job. It's not Social Security. It's not Medicare. It's repeal of Obamacare and then replacement. And by the way, he's one of about four people in town that has written a plan to replace it. So Donald Trump's nomination of him is a very clear sign that he wants HHS focused on one thing. Repealing Obamacare and replacing Obamacare.
Exactly right. All right, let's go ahead and take one of these calls, Logan.
All right, let's go to Pamela in Oregon.
Hey, Pamela.
You're on the air.
Pam, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I was just wondering how long the matching challenge lasts and what are your financial donation goals for December?
So the matching challenge in November obviously completed, and I think our goal was $1.6 million, and we exceeded it significantly. And that was a stretch goal too, by the way. So November and December are the biggest months for the ACLJ. I will find out from our team before this segment's out what our December goal is. We're not officially launching it on radio until probably next week because I just want to say thank you. So Pam, we will have that information for you. And the easiest way to do it is just go to ACLJ.org. And what it means when it's a matching challenge is some of our donors get together and they put up a fund and then we can match it. So any donations that come in, we get a match for it. 10,000 is 20,000. And the reason I said 10,000 is we got a couple of those kind of gifts, and that 10,000 literally becomes 20,000. But $10 also becomes 20, which is just as important. So that's how it works. All right, let's go to back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Tammy in Georgia.
Hey, Tammy.
Hey, Jay.
Yep.
I was just wanting to know who writes the rules for this engagement for combat. It seems to get a lot of our military killed.
Yeah, it does. And it's written by, it comes through DOD, Department of Defense, but let me tell you, it is the commander-in-chief that is the commander-in-chief. So ultimately, that's where it relies.
Yeah,
it resides.
You know, they come up again with a broad policy at the White House. So the President of the United States, the White House informs the DOD, this is our broad policies. Now turn this into a handbook. Turn this into a manual for rules on the battlefield. And, you know, they're constantly working on this, changing it. And I think what we've seen under this administration is more and more restrictions on our military. As Wes was saying in the previous segment, it's a reluctant use of force, which I think, you know, we see so much from the left. It's like they're still bombing people. I mean, we're carrying out bombing attacks. President Obama is authorizing those. We're putting troops in harm's way. A U.S. Troop was killed just 2 days ago in the conflict in Iraq. So he's putting people in harm's way. He's killing other people. He's dropping the bombs. He's carrying out the drone strikes. But it's constantly reluctant. It's that lead from behind. Those rules can be completely rewritten by the next administration to, again, allow our military to do their job and carry out their mission. But so, there's also a problem with that.
Yeah.
What is the goal? You know,
One of the things that's missing goals. Here. Yeah. So what I do when I get a case to the Supreme Court is I define what is a victory. And Than, it seems like right now that's lacking. And you made a statement on the last segment I think is important. We're going to have, whoever the pick is, a strong commander-in-chief, director of national security we already have. Then you got KT McFarland and Mike Flynn. That's going to change the whole tone there. You're going to have Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General of the United States, a big change of tone. And then you're going to have... You're pretty convinced it's going to be a strong, any one of the contenders would be strong at Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense.
All right.
It's going to be strong. I think it's probably going to be a general. Listen, I mean, the commander in chief, of course, has to make the decisions on rules of engagement, but you're going to know what those are going to be when this nominee comes down. If it's somebody like General Mattis or General Kelly, we know the answer to that. That rule of engagement, it's going away.
Yep. By the way, for Pam's call earlier, our goal for December is $3,100,000. So it's a big goal for December, but we'll be talking more about that next week. Let's go ahead and take another comment or a call.
Let's go to Hughes. Yep, in Washington.
Hi, Hughes. You're on the air.
Hey, glad to have you people. I'll make one quick comment about Obama's policy of military engagement. It has an incredible, terrible title, which it explains it all. His policy of rules of engagement is called courageous restraint, and that's the exact words. So,
well, that has this whole leading from behind is courageous restraint. How do you fight a war with, you know, that sounds very lofty. The problem with that loftiness is, and this is the real problem, it puts our men and women in harm's way. I mean, that's what Wes was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is, first of all, they're all highly trained, from the enlisted soldier to the generals. They understand you don't go in and you know, commit atrocities. At the same time, if you ask people to carry out military activity, people are going to get killed on both sides. Your folks are going to be killed. The other side's going to be killed. And there are people who get caught up in the middle, unfortunately, when you have these horrible conflicts going on. But you have to make a decision as commander-in-chief is how much do we allow something to go wrong before we say, okay, there will be consequences, there will be civilian casualties, there will be casualties on our side, and we will have to inflict significant casualties on their side to win.
Yep.
You have to make these decisions. President Obama has never wanted to do that. But again, he still carries out the drone strikes. He still accidentally blows up, you know, the different forces in Syria. That's all happening. It's a lot of mistakes, a lot of loss of life that didn't need to happened under the Obama administration.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today, folks. Again, thank you for your great support of our work at the ACLJ at aclj.org for the month of November. We'll talk about December next week, even though it is technically December. December 1st, it is now. But again, a huge thank you. And multiple ways for you to stay engaged while we go off the air, and Logan will let you know quickly of those.
Yep, join us on social media, Jay Sekulow on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ also, and aclj.org. Find us there.
All right.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. We engage the issues that matter most. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. Please stand with the ACLJ right now. Call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.